Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hallelujah. This is still our year of rest. And in this year of rest, this month is our month of abundance. You are transitioning from that era of lack, from that season of scarcity, from that season of not having enough, to flowing in abundance. In the name of Jesus. Are you ready to swim in abundance this month? Why don't you shout glory, hallelujah, to the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. 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 When you talk of abundance, let's not limit our minds to think we're only talking about money. Abundance is a realm of overflowing. It is a realm where you have more than what you need. It is a realm where you have the capacity to be a blessing to people. It is a realm where you have more than enough to share with nations, not just people, nations. Nations around the world. Hallelujah. It is the difference between scarcity. It is a realm where you break off from scarcity, when you break off from famine. So when you talk of abundance, expand your mind to be able to embrace the full breadth of abundance, the abundance of joy, the abundance of peace, the abundance of happiness, the abundance of love, the abundance of everything that the Lord has in store for you. In Jesus' mighty name. And I'd like you to know that your abundance is provided for already in the will of God. Hallelujah. Our lives are not unconnected. The book of Genesis chapter 1, the Lord said, let us make man. He said, dominate, multiply, replenish the earth, be fruitful. So from the onset, God's intention for us is to live a life of abundance of everything. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I was telling someone over the week, I said, God is not only interested in you as a believer just when you are in church. Every facet of your life is important to God. And every facet of your life is provided for in the agenda of God for your life. So when God said in Genesis 1:28, be fruitful, replenish the earth, multiply, everything that has to do with abundance was covered in that verse. Hallelujah. So don't look at God and think, oh, this aspect of my life does not concern God. God is not only interested in you healing the sick. God wants you to live in the abundance of everything. The abundance of joy. The abundance of peace. And that's why you wake up in the morning as a believer and you wake up with songs in your heart. Because there is a river flowing in you. The river that can never be put to end. It can never stop. It's a river of life. It keeps flowing on a daily basis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Please give me the amplified version from verse 4. Now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments. When you are endowed, you are blessed, you are gifted in ways that cannot be counted. An endowment is like a showering of gifts. An endowment is not something, you are not endowed when you just have, for instance, a meal for the day. That's not an endowment. Hallelujah. Gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians. Those Christians are here this morning. I say you are here this morning. I say you are about to be distinguished this morning. Because the Lord is going to open unto you the windows of endowments, gifts, extraordinary powers. Due to the power of divine grace operating in thy souls by the Holy Spirit. Though they vary, the same spirit remains the same. Your endowment, your ability to walk in abundance is not something you can achieve outside of the help of the Holy Spirit. And I know you may be thinking, but we have some unbelievers who don't believe in God who are rich. I just told you, abundance is not about riches. Abundance is an all-round 360 degree of everything that God has made provision for you. For you to walk in it, for you to transition into it from wherever you are at this point or in this cycle, you cannot do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next verse. Hallelujah. There are distinctive varieties of service and ministration. So this talks about the service, the ministration. So that is to tell you that the first verse was not limiting us or limiting believers to your spiritual service. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The first verse we read, that was verse 4, is not limiting us, because sometimes when we read this scripture, the only thing that comes to our mind is how that God wants us to be useful in his house. I want you to know that when God said in Genesis 1:28, replenish the earth, everything is linked. Your service in the house of God, your service into the nations, your leadership roles on the mountains, your leadership roles in your place of work, everything about your life is linked. God does not lose focus. We are the ones who think, oh, it's different. We are the ones who think God is only interested in it. God made us, and the purpose for which he made us, everything is linked, such that as a believer in church on Sunday, God is looking at you on Monday and expecting to see his glory come forth on your life as you step into your place of work. So for you to walk in this realm of abundance, you cannot do it outside of the help of the Holy Spirit. And Luke chapter 11 from verse 4. And I know we've dealt a lot about this. Luke chapter 11 has been like a popular passage in this church in the past 1 month. Hallelujah. Give me verse 9. So I said to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks will find, and to him that knocked it shall be opened. Go on. Hallelujah. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Definitely not. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Definitely not. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So go back to verse 13. How much more will your Father? So when you read this scripture, I know many a times we are tempted to think, ask and it shall be given. Lord, I ask for money. Lord, I ask for a new house. He said, if your children ask you for things, you give them good gifts. How much more your Father, when you ask for what? The Holy Spirit. So God was trying to tell us here that what you need, the specification for asking from this scripture, is the Holy Spirit. Now, many a times we ask for the other things without asking for the Holy Spirit. Matthew says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and every other thing will be added. Those other things you are asking for are not the things you should be asking for. He said, all the good gifts, when you think about the human nature, when you think about anything good, it's the same thing as when you ask for the Holy Spirit. God is qualifying the Holy Spirit as based on our understanding of good gifts. So he says, ask. And remember, we started by saying your abundance, you coming into this level, this realm of abundance, cannot be achieved except by the help of the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord is saying, ask. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask for the main thing. Ask for the Holy Spirit, and every other thing will be added unto you. If you go on, he said, those who seek. Now, permit me to just describe it this way. When you ask for the Holy Spirit, you are telling God, Father, I need your Spirit. The second level of which is seeking is the level where you get into the knowledge arena. where you understand what you are asking for, where you understand the implication of what you are asking for, where you seek knowledge to understand the varieties of the Spirit, to understand the dimensions of the Spirit, to understand the different facets. Hallelujah. So you are asking for the Spirit. When the Lord gives you the Holy Spirit, how do you even know what you have? If you have not sought knowledge in the Word of God, how do you know when you have received the Holy Spirit? Is that not why we keep asking? That's why we ask all the time, Lord, fill me with this. Because most of us are not even sure what we have received. Hallelujah. I'll jump to the book of Isaiah chapter 11. Hallelujah. Give me from, I think, verse 4. No. I'm looking at where the Bible describes the seven spirits of God in Isaiah. Verse 2, right? Okay. Now, when you ask for the Holy Spirit, this is what you're asking for. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. There are seven different dimensions. So when the Lord says, ask for the Holy Spirit, and you ask, the next level is for you to seek, to understand the different dimensions, the different workings of the Holy Spirit. And if you look through the Bible, you will see that there are so many men and women in the Bible who had different workings of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Hallelujah. And the third aspect of knocking is after you have garnered the knowledge, then you knock by placing a demand on that particular aspect, on that particular dimension that you are lacking, that you want to see in your life. Praise the Lord. So like I said, this level of abundance, and I'm yet to see that person in the Bible who walked in abundance without the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm yet to see that person in the Bible who walked in this abundance that we're talking about, this level of abundance that cannot be given to you by the world. This level of abundance that the devil does not even have access to. So don't start comparing yourselves with people out there. Oh, this person is not born again. He's super rich. That's what you see. You don't know how much peace is lacking. You don't know how much joy is lacking. You don't know how much happiness is lacking in his life. But the only one you see makes you feel this person lives in abundance. Hallelujah. So I'm yet to see that person in the Bible that lived according to the word of God, that lived in abundance and did not live in line with these dimensions. The spirit of wisdom, an example for us is King Solomon. Hallelujah. The spirit of understanding, an example was Daniel. Daniel lived, Daniel prospered because he had the spirit of understanding upon him. Daniel moved from being a slave into being a man of affluence in a strange land by virtue of the spirit of understanding that he carried. So when you begin to think of abundance, and I think this may be the theme for the month, let your mind expand and see all of this connected to every facet of your life. Hallelujah. The spirit of might, we saw Samson. We saw David. The spirit of might is not limited to, it's not about how much of a load you can carry. It's not by the physical strength. The spirit of might describes the abundance of victories in battle. It describes how abundantly you walk through battles and you come out triumphant. And you come out victorious. And we saw a lot of that in Daniel. Samson, and we saw a lot of that in David also. Hallelujah. The spirit of counsel. Solomon was another person who exhibited the spirit of counsel. And he didn't do it by his powers. Remember when he offered that offering to the Lord, and the Lord said, that which you have not even requested for, I will bless you with it. And he ruled, and kings of the earth began to look for him. Bible records that Solomon had more than enough. Solomon had more than enough. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. The spirit of knowledge, we saw that in the life of Paul. We saw that in the life of Moses. And the spirit of the fear of the Lord, who else? We saw that in Joseph. And by virtue of the spirit of the fear of the Lord, Joseph rose from being a prisoner, from moving from scarcity, into being the head of Egypt. Joseph moved from being a rejected one, one that was lost in the cell, and he migrated by virtue of the fear of the Lord. That was one anchor he had all through his journey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you are transiting. You will transition from this point wherever you are. I know some people might be in the point of scarcity. Some may be in the point of famine. Some may be in the point of their needs being met. Your daily needs are met. You feel, oh, thank you. They say medium class. I heard Tinubu has canceled medium class now. So there's no more middle class anymore. Everybody are either here or there. But in the name of Jesus, by virtue of the help of the Holy Spirit, everyone here will transition from wherever you are at the moment, and you are moving into the realm of abundance in the name of Jesus. An abundance of joy, an abundance of peace, an abundance of favor in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So you've seen the different men, the different people who walked with God, and by virtue of the Spirit of God that was upon them, they were able to transition from one point in their lives to their point of abundance, where they had affluence, where they could influence national decisions. This is not limited to just preaching. This is where people stood and laws were made by virtue of their presence. Where people stood and where the name of God would have been canceled, by their presence, it was eradicated. This is where people stood and the purpose of God for nations became realistic. And I pray for everyone in the name of Jesus, you are migrating today. I say you are migrating today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Your joy will be over full. In the name of Jesus. Abundance of everything in your life. In the name of Jesus. So we're going to be looking at just one of these people. And I'm going to be talking about David. Because for me, like I said earlier, David was a man who moved from, I think, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, the pastor was trying to describe the life of David. How that he moved from being the rejected child, the child that nobody recognized, the child that was always in the wilderness, he was always with animals. The only companions he had, the only people who were willing to be friends with him were animals, were the sheep, the ram. Even his brothers didn't want to be affiliated with him. They told the father, call out your sons. He didn't regard David as a son. But this was the same David. By virtue of the spirit of might that was upon him, he moved from being in the wilderness. He moved from being friends with lions and bears, even though he was killing them. He moved from being a shepherd, keeping animals, into reigning in the palace where he was not even eligible for. Your eligibility for abundance is the Spirit of the Lord that is coming upon you today. In the name of Jesus. And I'm looking at the life of David, not necessarily King David. Pastor normally says something. He says, don't look at the blinks when people are already at the stage. Look at how they started their lives. Hallelujah. So I'm looking at the very beginning of his life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because it's one thing for you to get into abundance. It is yet another thing to sustain it. And I believe maybe pastor or any other minister preaching in the course of this month will look into the aspect of sustaining your abundance. Where you don't only come into it, you sustain it. But you know, by virtue of the help of the Holy Spirit, the provision for sustenance is also made. When the Lord was going to open the door of abundance for Egypt, the Lord did not open it until he gave a strategy for Egypt to sustain it. But the only person who could operate and uphold that strategy was also a man that was filled by the Spirit. So you will not only come into abundance. Everything that you need to sustain that level of abundance, the Lord makes available unto you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Yes, from verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning? Fill your horn with oil. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite. For I have provided for myself a king amongst his sons. I have provided for myself a king amongst his sons. So what this tells me is that God had made deliberate provision for himself in David. So the day God told Samuel, go to Bethlehem and anoint unto me the son of Jesse, was not the day God discovered David. It was not the day God was noticing David. So all the while that he had been in the wilderness, that he had been with the animals, God was working with him. God was working with him. God was providing for himself a man. God was already building him. God was molding him. God was forming him. Every time he stepped into the wilderness and he thought he was alone, he wasn't alone. Because there was an agenda for training for that day that God had for him. There was a curriculum that God had prepared for him. And God was just waiting for the day he would finish in school. And then he sent Samuel. Now go and anoint David. God prepared for himself, David, for the purpose of the palace. Saul, unlike Saul, Saul was not, kingship came upon Saul. He didn't have a walk with God. He didn't have a relationship with God. And so when he fell, he didn't know how to retrace his steps back to God because he had not been exposed to the merciful part of God. He had not had a walk with God where he stumbled and he got back on his feet, where he fell and he got back and said, Father, I'm sorry. So every attempt Saul made to remedy his mistakes, he only aggravated them. He didn't understand what it meant to walk with God. So every mistake you have made, every fall you had, every time you stumbled, every time you made a mistake, it was an opportunity for you to bond again with God. Because of the workings of the Lord upon your life. And so when you fall, when you make a mistake, it's not the right time for you to run away from him. You are not Saul. You must learn to go back to your father. You must learn to retrace your steps to him. Hallelujah. So God had worked in David. God had prepared for himself a man in David. God had prepared him for a purpose like this. And I know most of the time it is this aspect, this stage of preparation that many of us lose our patience. Oh, Lord, I've already killed a lion. I think it's time for you to expose me to the world. God is saying, no, you need to do it again. You need to do it again with another type of animal. In another scenario, we need to check the consistency of your methodology. We need to be sure that you are totally reliant and dependent on him. So it is not by, oh God, I've been through a lot already. I think it's time for you to expose me to the world. Make me known. Make me seen. God is saying, no, you are not done with your curriculum. The one you killed before was called a lion. This one is a different one. This one can stand and beat his chest. This one is a bear. You need to try it again. Let's see. Let's see how you are consistent. So in this, if you are in that phase where God is still preparing you, where God is molding you, where God is forming you, where God is making for himself a man, one of the things you need to be conscious of is to stay patiently in that course. Hallelujah. So David was a man whom God had molded, whom God had prepared, whom God had formed for himself. And then he told Samuel, he said, go and anoint David. The anointing that came upon the life of David was the announcement David needed for the throne. The anointing that came upon the life of David was the announcement he needed to begin to take ownership of the throne. If you move on, 1 Samuel 16, I think it's from verse 14. The Lord himself, after David was anointed, please put it up, 1 Samuel chapter 16, I think from verse 14. After the Lord had anointed David, then the Lord went ahead to create a problem in the palace. Because now my son is anointed. Now my son is ready to be announced. Now my son is ready to take up his role. I say in the name of Jesus, the anointing of the Lord is coming upon you this morning. The anointing for recognition. The anointing to be seen as the light of the world. In the name of Jesus, every veil that has covered you before now is being torn apart by the anointing of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. The Lord anointed David, and then after the Lord anointed David, the Lord went ahead to the palace to cause a problem by himself. They said the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented and troubled him. So God himself was the origin of the problem Saul had in the palace, because he needed to create an opening for his own son. You don't know how much you mean to him. You don't know how much your abundance is even more important to him than to you. Sometimes you think you are the only one who understands. Sometimes you are talking to your children and they tell you you don't understand and you are wondering. I gave birth to you. They tell you you don't understand me. Many of us do it to God. We are telling God, Father, you don't understand. Have you ever prayed before and you said, God, you just don't understand. I've done it. God, you really don't understand the situation I'm in. You are begging God with God. Hallelujah. God went to disrupt the palace for David's sake, because it was time for David to move. Because it is your time to move, the Lord is causing disruptions that will work in your favor. In the name of Jesus. Because it is your time to move, the Lord is causing movements that will shake the heart. In the name of Jesus. So God sent an evil spirit to Saul to begin to torment Saul. And when Saul's servants saw it, they said, Lord, they told Saul, they said, we will need a man who is skilled in the playing of the lyre instruments. Because in their days, music was seen as a therapeutic measure for distress, for depression, for torment. When anyone is angry, the easiest way to help the person calm down was to introduce music, especially the lyre and the harp. So in their days, they saw Saul's sickness, and the only remedy they could get was for good music to be applied. So what the servant saw was a man who could play music. And one of the servants said, he said, I have seen a son, I think it's verse 18, a son of Jesse who is skilled in playing the lyre. He said, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite who plays skillfully. So they sought for David. What they saw on David was his skill to play. This was the same skill that the Lord had been forming in him, that the Lord had been molding in David, that the Lord had been shaping in David. But I tell you, if they had gotten any other man, any other musician who was not filled with the Spirit of the Lord, the man would have died. Severally, Saul made attempts on his life, throwing spears at him. And by the help of the Lord, he dodged. Hallelujah. And so they went to seek David, the man who had the skill. So as God had built skill in David, God deposited upon him. Bible says that when Samuel anointed David, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. For everyone here this morning, skilled in one thing or the other, skilled in your business, skilled in your career, the Spirit of the Lord to excel will come mightily upon you this morning. In the name of Jesus. As Samuel anointed David, Bible records that the Spirit of the Lord became mighty upon him. It was all still in the provision for David to transition from being in the backstage of life to leading in the nation. Hallelujah. And so by his skill, which was enhanced by the anointing upon his life. Oh, you would lift your hands and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, by virtue of your anointing this morning, you'll enhance my skill. You announce my skill. In the name of Jesus, my skill is recognized. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. By virtue of the skill he had and the anointing of the Lord, he was positioned in the palace. Hallelujah. 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 You are no more hidden. In the name of Jesus. The Lord is bringing you out of every obscurity and is placing you where he has proposed for you. In the name of Jesus, by the intervention of the Lord this morning, you are migrating from lack. You are migrating from scarcity. You are migrating from famine into abundance. Abundance of everything. In the name of Jesus. That was how David got positioned in the palace. by his skill, and he was sustained in the palace by the anointing of the Lord upon his life. Hallelujah. 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 Let's move to chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'll just move on to verse 15. And David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Now this verse looks very simple, but this is really worded. He moved, so before now, no, I'm just staying on verse 15. Before now, David's movement was from the house to the sheep, right? He would move from the house to the sheep. That was the place of his forming. That was the place of the molding. That was where God positioned him at that time. The moment God repositioned him to the palace, he would move from the palace to the house to the sheep. He will move from the palace to the house to the sheep. You want to walk in abundance, you have to be focused. You must trust God enough to stay where he has positioned you. Your abundance is not outside the positioning of God for your life. Your abundance is not outside that place where God has put you. I know many of us are tempted to be the jack of all trade. The Lord has told you, face this path. But most of the time, you are looking at your neighbor. There's this popular comedy. Two people selling watermelon. One person put 30 pounds. The other person put 10 pounds. The person selling 10 pounds was selling. The person selling at 30 pounds changed his own price to 15 pounds. The person selling at 10 pounds bought everything he had and changed his own to 50 pounds. Hallelujah. Your abundance is in that place. It may not look like it. When David started in the palace, he started playing music. He started ministering to a seemingly madman. He didn't look like the anointing Samuel said I was anointing him with. And Saul, I'm sure he didn't look like someone that was ready to die. Hallelujah. There was every reason for David to be discouraged from that position. There was every reason for David to lose hope. There was every reason for David to resign and say, I'm not working here anymore. I'm tired. My boss is frustrating me. My colleagues are mean. If you have gone back to the Lord and the Lord says, this is where you stay, remain there. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 12. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 12. For you, Lord, will bless the uncompromisingly righteous, him who is upright and in right standing with you. As with a shield, you will surround him with goodwill, pleasure, and favor. Sometimes we look at right standing and we limit it to just being, you just tell yourself, right standing means when I'm righteous and I live a holy life. A perspective of right standing is when you stand in the will, you embrace God's will upon your life. Please put up that scripture again. So with that understanding, I read it again. For the Lord will bless the uncompromisingly righteous who is upright, who stands in the will of God for his life, who prospers and accepts the will and the promises of God for his life. As with a shield, the Lord will surround him with goodwill, with pleasure, and with favor. In the name of Jesus. Your right standing part time, God wants to look upon your life and see you positioned where he has kept you. And see you positioned in that place where he has put you. I know I've shared testimonies severally about how the Lord told me it's time to move. While I was still working somewhere. And I began to hand over that same day the Lord told me. I began to tell my colleagues, you know I'm leaving. I didn't even know where I was going. It took about 2 years after that day before I moved. Hallelujah. Your right standing, God is looking at how much of his will you accept. Without rebelling, without arguing, without asking questions. Because many a times you're asking yourself, Pastor has preached and anointed me for abundance. I'm still not working in it. I'm still having scarcity and all sorts around me. I don't have enough of joy. I don't have peace around me. Ask yourself, are you positioned where the Lord has placed you? Have you accepted the will and the promises of the Lord concerning your life? Or are you battling with it? Hallelujah. Psalm 84, verse 11. The book of Psalms, chapter 84, and verse 11. Hallelujah. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows, presents grace and favor and future glory, honor, splendor, heavenly bliss. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will he hold back from those who are in right standing with him. No good thing will he withhold from those whom he has told, go in this way, and they follow the path. Hallelujah. Your abundance is not outside where God has placed you. If you have not found it, it is time to begin to ask the Lord, Father, open my eyes. Help me to see where you have placed me. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help me. Help me to see, not only to see, give me the grace to stay in it. Give me the grace to be faithful in it. Even when David knew he was anointed to be king, they were still sending me on errands. The father told him, go and see your brothers and give them food. And he carried the food and went there. Oh, but something had changed. There was the spirit of the Lord that was now working mightily upon him, such that when he got to where his brothers were, on a normal day, David would not ask questions. He would probably just drop the food and left. But now, by virtue of the spirit, David could interact. David could ask questions. David knew there was a season opened upon his life. David knew there was a new season upon his life that the Lord had opened up. Hallelujah. But he didn't stop him from still checking the sheep. He didn't stop him from still tending to the animals. He didn't stop him from still keeping, because that was where God had placed him for that point, at that point. That was where God had placed him at that particular point in his life. Embrace the will of God. Embrace the purposes of the Lord. Embrace the promise of the Lord for your life. Where God has placed you, your abundance is there. And you will not miss it. In the name of Jesus. You will not miss it in the name of Jesus. I'm running back to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and I'm rounding up. Hallelujah. I just want to share a few tips on how you can remain in that place where God has called you to be. To walk in abundance, we had said you need the help of the Holy Spirit. By virtue of the anointing of the Lord upon you, remain committed, have a right standing, stay in the will of the Lord. But I also know that in some cases, it may be very difficult. It may be very challenging. I'm just going to quickly rush through this point. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 23. When David went to give his brothers supply at the war front, Bible records that, and as they talked, behold, Goliath the champion, the Philistine of Gath, came forth from the Philistine's rank and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. Verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they had not even heard what he wanted to say. When they saw him, they fled from him terrified. But one man did not run. He waited to hear what the problem was. David waited to hear the problem. He waited to listen to the challenge. He waited to hear what needed to be solved. In that situation, the other men saw the threat. David saw the opportunity. For those, I know many of us are in business, many of us are in our different careers. There's something you call the SWOT analysis. The strengths, the weaknesses, opportunities, and the threats. Whatever you are faced with at work falls into any of these four categories. The strengths and weaknesses are internal factors. The threats and opportunities are external factors. For every threat, economics has been able to prove to us that there is an opportunity. But only 1% of people who see the threat find the opportunity. Many a times, many of us see the threat and we flee. Like this man. But David saw the threat. by virtue of the anointing that was upon his life, he identified the opportunity that was in the threat. And the only question he kept asking was, what will be done to the one who can bring out the opportunity in this threat? Become a seeker of opportunities. Every threat has a side to it that poses as opportunities. Hallelujah. So first tip, become a seeker of opportunities. There's a change in structure in your organization. Oh, there's a new MD and everybody's afraid. Maybe they will lay off. Maybe they will. No. Don't sit down to analyze the threat. Sit down to begin to look at the opportunities in this. This is a new MD. This is a new application. How best can I utilize this? What are the things I can get from this? Begin to look at the opportunities inherent, because there's only a chance that about 1% of the people in that team will find that opportunity. If you find it, you are already positioning yourself for your lifting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I jump to verse 26. And David said to the men standing by him, what shall be done to this man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this that he should defy the armies of the God, of the living God? You know, but before he asked those questions, his brothers had told him, move away from there. Go away from here. You know when you are telling a child, shoo, shoo. You are not the kind that is needed here. You are not eligible. Don't be petty. See the big picture. Don't be petty. See the big picture. David was looking beyond that immediate battle. He was beginning to already say, who is this? Who is this bringing reproach to Israel? He was looking beyond, let's just kill this one and go. He was already looking at the impact of this threat upon the nation. He was looking at the impact of this threat upon the name of the Lord. He was already looking at the impact of this threat upon the kingdom agenda for Israel. See the big picture. And I'm sure if you listen to pastors' messages over and over, you would have heard this in different ways. See the big picture. Why is there a change in your organization? Why is there a change in your business? Embrace that change. Embrace the big picture there. Hallelujah. And it still strews out from the point, don't be discouraged by the threat. Embrace the opportunities. Hallelujah. These are some of the ways that staying where God has positioned you will help you stay focused. You are not just looking at every threat and you are thinking, oh, maybe it's time to resign. Oh, maybe I need to run away. God keeps telling me to stay. God, what are you asking me to do? It is time to go to the Lord and tell the Lord, Father, open my eyes to the opportunities here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Verse 30 says, and David turned, so 29. David said, what have I done now? Was it not just a harmless question? This was when his brother Eliab asked him, what are you doing here? He said, what have I done to you? I just asked the question. And verse 30, and David turned away from Eliab to another, and he asked the same question. And again, the men gave him the same answer. Turn away from every source of discouragement. Turn away from everything that tells you what you are doing has no value. Turn away from everything that tells you where God has positioned you is a waste of time. Turn away from everything that is anti-God. Turn away from every relationship that is detrimental to your relationship with God. Turn away from everything that shuts your eyes to the opportunities that God is placing before you. Turn away from every source of discouragement. No matter how nice or how logical it sounds. Oh, you can't do it. You know you've not been in this organization for more than 2 years. You want to apply for a promotion and they tell you you can't do it. You are not eligible. Turn away. Tell your neighbor, turn away. Turn away, turn away, turn away. You want to start a business, they tell you in this area, this type of business does not thrive. Turn away. Turn away from that. Hallelujah. Turn away from it. Hallelujah. Everything that discourages you, no matter how good or how right it sounds, please tell your neighbor, turn away. Even if it sounds right, turn away. Even if it sounds okay, turn away. In the name of Jesus. This morning, you are going to lift your hands to the Lord. And you are saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, anoint me for abundance. Lord, let your anointing come upon me in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus, Father, anoint me for the abundance of joy. abundance of peace, abundance of love, abundance of happiness, abundance of spiritual blessings. In the name of Jesus, the abundance of health. In the name of Jesus, by virtue of the help of the Holy Spirit, I transition from scarcity, I move from famine, and I walk into plenty. In the name of Jesus, I am helped by the Holy Spirit this morning. I am helped by the Holy Spirit this morning. Embele kedebo shakata bali kadabo suntalia. Regedebeli kedebo zekete kedekedekede. I receive grace to stand in your will. I receive grace to stand and embrace your promises for my life. I receive grace to be faithful in that which you have called me to do. I receive grace to be fervent and diligent in that where you have positioned me. In the name of Jesus, I receive grace. Ask for grace this morning. I turn away from every source of discouragement. I turn away from every point of discouragement. It doesn't matter how logical it sounds. I put my trust in you, O God. I put my faith in you, O Lord. Likadaba shakata embelekete belekedeboza. I'm totally reliant on you. I trust in you. I know my abundance is in that place where you have positioned me, and I walk into it. I embrace your calling for my life. I embrace your purpose for my life. I embrace your will for my life. I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to be weary. I refuse to be tired. I receive strength this morning. I receive help this morning. I am greatly helped this morning.
I receive strength.